Seches Trumos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Chestul, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. We've mentioned previously that you cannot take Truma from an unfinished product to exempt you for the finished product. For example, you cannot take Truma from olives to exempt you on the oil. Now, this Mishnah says the opposite is also true, that Ein Termin Shemen Al Zesim Hanichtoshin. You cannot take Truma from oil on the olives that are being pressed. And similarly, velo yain al anovim hanidrochim. You cannot take truma from the finished product of the wine on behalf of the pressed grapes. This is because we are concerned that if you are able to take truma from the oil for the rest of the olives while they're being processed, we are concerned that maybe you may take truma straight away and give that to the kohen while that first bit of oil is still tohar, and then you may become lax on the rest of the process of producing oil and allow it to become tomei, since you no longer need tohar oil to give to the kohen. This was a rabbinic decree to help keep the oil in a tohar state. However, v'im toram, trumoso truma. If he did take truma from the oil as it came out and gave it to the kohen, then the rest of the processing olives will have had the truma taken from it, at least on a Torah level. This first oil will have a full halachic status of truma. But the rabbis penalized the owner of the oil and said, v'yachzor v'yistrom, i.e. when the olives are finished their production, he needs to take a second truma from the oil and give it to the kohen. This second truma is only a rabbinic truma. As a result, horishono, Medamas bifnei atzmo. The first truma that was given has a halachic status of full truma, and therefore, if it gets mixed up in a mixture of other oil that he may have in his house, maybe from last year's stock, then this new oil, which is proper truma, and gets mixed up with his old oil, creates a problematic mixture of truma and non-truma oil. This mixture is called a meduma, and ultimately can only be eaten by a kohen. V'chayovin oleha chomesh, this first oil that was separated for truma, has a din of complete truma, in so much as that if somebody ate this oil by accident, b'shogeg, he will now have to give to the kohen as compensation the value of the oil that he consumed, which was trum oil, plus a chomesh, which is an extra 25% of what he ate. Again, these halachas are true of the first oil that he separated, because that was truma d'oraisa, Torah-prescribed truma. The second truma that the rabbis told him to separate is only truma d'rabbonon, says the Mishnah, aval lo shnia. This second truma will not have the laws of Torah truma, and therefore will not be able to make up a meduma mixture. And similarly, we will not have to pay an extra chomesh if you eat the oil by accident. Mishnah Tes. Now that we have learned that you cannot take truma from a product which has finished its process to exempt you for a product which has not yet finished its process, and vice versa, our Mishnah will tell us that you can take truma from a finished product for another type of finished product. V'sormin shemen al zesim hanichboshim. One finished product of olives will be oil, and another finished product of olives will be oil that's ready to be eaten, like pickled olives. You can take truma from oil to exempt you for the olives which are pickled and ready to be eaten, since they are both finished products. Similarly, v'yayin al anovim lasosom tzimukim. You can separate your truma from wine to exempt you from grapes which are ready to be eaten, either as grapes or as raisins. But what about the case as follows, when a person wants to separate oil or wine for his olives and his grapes, but then decides that he's actually going to use the olives and grapes to press them to get more oil and more wine? Says our Mishnah, Hare Shetoram Shemen al Zesim L'Achilo. Let's say he separated oil truma in order to be able to exempt him from eating olives, or even v'zeisim al zeisim la'achila, where he separated some olives in order to be able to exempt him from the rest of the olives in the mixture, and they're both edible products, or v'yayin al anovim la'achila, or he separated wine in order to exempt him from grapes that were ready to be eaten, or v'anovim al anovim la'achila, or he separated some grapes for truma to exempt him from other grapes, and they're both in a fit state to be eaten, and then v'nimlach ledorachon, he decided that he was going to press those grapes and press those olives, i.e. change them from a finished product to an unfinished product. Nevertheless, ein tzorech lisrim, he does not need to take a second truma, because at the time that he took the first truma, he took them according to proper law. Mishnah Yud, we have seen till now that where there are products which go through a process, then you cannot take truma from a product which has finished the process to exempt you from the product which has not yet finished its process. And the same is true vice versa. And that if you did take truma in such circumstances, at least we've seen according to Beis Hillel, ein truma so truma. And you need to take truma all over again. Our Mishnah seems to disagree. And the subject of our Mishnah is not grapes and not olives, but rather simple grains. The finishing point for the production of grains in order to make them liable for truma is called miruach. And this is the point when the grains have been piled up in the barn. Maybe they're in sacks or they're in boxes. And the owner smoothed down the surface of this pile of grain. This smoothing down is called miruach, and is therefore the end of the process of preparing grains. Says our Mishnah, Ein termin midovar she nigmura malachto, al dovar shelo nigmura malachto. That you cannot take truma from the grains when they have finished the process, i.e. after miruach, to exempt you from truma on the grains which have not yet finished the process, i.e. before miruach. And vice versa, v'lo midovar shelo nigmura malachto, you cannot take truma from the unfinished grains, al dovar shenigmura malachto, to exempt you on the finished grains. And thirdly, v'lo midovar shelo nigmura malachto, al dovar shelo nigmura malachto, you cannot take truma from unfinished grains to exempt you on other unfinished grains. So far, this is consistent with what we have learnt previously. However, the Mishnah finishes, v'im tormu trumason truma. But if you do take truma in any of the above cases, then trumason truma, the truma will work as truma. Unlike the case of the wine and the oil that we've seen previously. The Mefarshim, explaining the difference between wine and oil versus grains, give a couple of suggestions. One suggestion is that we are more strict when it comes to oil and wine because we don't want the Kohen to do any extra work, so we need to prepare all the oil and wine before separating truma. Another suggestion is that there's no difference between wine and oil versus grains at all, but rather our Mishnah, which states that if you do take truma on an unfinished product for a finished product or vice versa, could be if that is given with the consent of the Kohen or with the knowledge of the Kohen. In such case, the Kohen doesn't mind, and therefore the truma will work. Perek Beis, a Mishnah Aleph. We've seen previously that if you have two types of food with different halachic status, you cannot take from one to exempt the other. We've also learnt that when it comes to truma, it has to be given to the Kohen while it is tahor, while it is pure, because the Kohen can only eat truma when he is tahor and when the food is tahor. If, however, the food becomes tomei, and you only have tomei food in your house, and you have to separate truma, you can still separate truma and give it to the Kohen, and the Kohen, although he can't eat it, can use it for fuel. Another halacha, which we will learn in this Mishnah, is called mukaf. And this is dealt with in detail in Maseches Chala. But for now, the halacha is that when you separate truma, you have to separate truma from food which is attached, or at least touching, the food you're separating truma for. For example, if you have one pile of grain, then you can separate truma from that one pile to exempt you on the rest of the pile. But if you have two piles of grain, then you cannot take truma from one pile to separate you, to exempt you from truma from the other pile. Therefore, our Mishnah says that ein termin mitohar al hatome. Since if you have two piles in your house of grain, one which has tohor grain and one which has tome grain, in order to separate from one to the other, they would need to be touching. This may cause you to spread the tuma onto the tohor grain. As a result, ein termin mitohor al hatome. You cannot take truma from the tohor grain to exempt you from the tome grain in case you'll make them touch and spread the tuma around. However, v'im tormu trumos on truma. If you did such a thing, then the truma would still count and exempt you for to eat now the tuma grains yourself. This problem only occurs when we are concerned about spreading the tuma to the tohar grains. The Mishnah carries on be'emes omru, and be'emes omru means in reality they said, and it refers to the fact that this is the halacha, ha'igil shel devela shenitzmo miktsoso, that if you have a cake of figs, which are dried figs, all connected to each other, you can have a scenario where you have one part of the cake of figs, which is tomei, but will not spread the tumah to the tohar part. This is because tumah only spreads from food to food via one of the seven liquids. However, if this cake of figs is held together by fig juice, which is not one of the seven liquids, then the tumah will not spread from one part of the fig cake to the other part, and therefore, ha'igul shel devela shenitzmo miktsoso. If you have a cake of figs, which part of it has become tomei, terem min ha'tohor sheyeshbo, al ha'tomei sheyeshbo, you can take truma from the tohor part of the cake of figs and exempt you for the tomei part of the cake of figs. Since on the one hand you are separating truma min ha'mukof from a attached or touching part, and there is also no concern of spreading the tuma, as such, you can take truma from the tohor to tomei, even though in other circumstances this would be forbidden. V'chein agudo shel yerek, not only a cake of figs, but also a bundle of yerek, of greens, which are not connected via fluids and therefore cannot spread the tuma around. But if part of the bundle of vegetables has become tome and part is tohor, then you can separate the tohor to exempt you from truma for the tome part. V'chein aremo, and the same is true for a pile of grain. If part of the pile of grain is tome and part is tohor, then you can take from the tohor part truma and exempt you for the tome part. Once again, where there is no risk of spreading the tumah around because none of these seven fluids are around. And similarly, we also have the principle of taking tumah min hamukuf from the attached or touching product, and therefore this will be a good tumah. But that's because they're attached. However, hoyu shnei igulim, if you have two separate cakes of figs, or shtei agudos, or two separate bundles of vegetables, or shtei aremos, or two separate heaps of grain, achas tomeo of achas tohura, one being tomei and one tohura, then lo yisra mizeh alzeh, since they are not mukaf, they're not attached, therefore you cannot take truma from the tohor to exempt you for the tomei. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with the whole premise of our Mishnah, and he says, termin min hatohor al hatomei, that you can separate truma from a tohor in order to exempt you for the tomei pile. And he is not concerned that if you separate in this circumstance, where the Tumah and the Tara will be separate, that you will get into the habit of separating Truma from things which are not attached. For Rabbi Eliezer, this is not a concern, and that since a person will normally know that he has to take Truma from things which they are attached or they are connected, the fact that there may be an exception in our case where the one pile is Tomei and one pile is Tohar, he will not confuse this for an ordinary case where both piles are Tohar.